Oh, man. You know, that song brought back so many memories for me, this little light of mine, not just from when I was a kid, but John used to get the guitar and he'd play when we were in Georgia that song all the time. And so Liam was a baby. He was like 2 and he had his own little mini guitar and he'd come out of his room with his daddy's sailor hat on and he'd just strum that thing as hard as he could and he'd go, "Shine, Shine." And oh my gosh, it was the most heartwarming thing. So to see him piercing it again, oh, made my heart so happy, my mama's heart. I love that boy. You know, we've got some pretty good youth right now. The youth group that we have is pretty incredible. I'm so grateful. Brianna and I were talking about that. This group of kids is the most invested into the word, hungry, yeah, and it's incredible, and it's very powerful to watch, and so keep praying for them, guys. That's not what I'm up here to talk about. You know, we're in a new month, and we've been doing the year of change, right, and this year we're doing renewing your mind for change, and so the scripture that goes with that, which I get to be the first one to teach on it because Pastor Bruce hasn't even had a chance. So is Romans 12:2. And it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And that is a powerful, I mean, we could just go over that again and again and again and again and again, and it's incredible. But that's out of the New King James Version, and I usually teach out of the New Living Translation because I'm used to teaching the teens, and so that's what my study Bible is. That's what I've dug into. So we're going to read it out of the New Living Translation as well, but we're going to start in verse 1. And so verse 1 says, "And so," do you know that when anything in the word says "and so" or "therefore," if a chapter starts out like that, that's a continuation of thought. That's not the beginning of something brand new. That is a continuation. And you need to, at that point, go back and see what they're talking about. And so just a little bit of context with this before I go on reading. In chapter 11, Paul is talking about how the Hebrew people were God's chosen people. The Hebrew people were, because of the relationship that Abraham had with God and the promise, and you know, Abraham is one of the only people that I can think of in the Bible that it says he was God's friend. You know, there's a lot, you know, I have a friend in God. But Abraham was God's friend, and they had a special bond and a special relationship. And because of that, his children were blessed. His children and their children and their children and their children and their children were blessed. And they were God's favorites. You know, as parents, we're not really supposed to have favorites, but sometimes you can connect with some better than others. Well, God had favorites, and that was the Hebrew people. And Paul was talking to the Gentiles were grafted in, and God was talking about how Paul was talking about how incredible that is, that we've been grafted in. And so then it starts, "And so, dear brothers and sisters," we've been grafted, "and so, dear brothers and sisters, because of this thing, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable." There's a lot in that right there. To be a living sacrifice, that means to lay yourself down. That means that we don't have the option to get offended. We don't have the option to get really hurt. Because if we are a living sacrifice and we are daily choosing that, then we are going to be taking our flesh and crucifying it with Christ every single day, which is a lot easier to say than it is to do. Am I right? So, a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So I want to talk about this for just a minute, about grafting. Okay, and what grafting is. When I was young, we had a place out in Port Orchard, and by we, I mean my parents, and we got this apple tree. But it was like a Fiji apple tree. But it also had different kinds of apples available to produce on this one tree. And I remember being out with my dad, digging the holes. He did most of the digging, but digging the holes, getting ready to plant this and saying, "Dad, how do they do that? Like, how does that work? And do you know that you can't really accidentally graft something? It has to be intentional. Grafting takes determination." And so he said, well, what they do is they take a branch of the original tree. Let's just say it's the Fiji tree. And then they take this Granny Smith branch from another tree and they put it on and they tape it and they put pressure on it until it starts to grow together. That's not a natural process. That is something that has to take intent. That is something that has to take mindful consideration. When God decided to graft us in, it wasn't necessarily a natural thing. And the Jewish people were not all super happy about it. Right? We were grafted in, and there was determination that needed to happen. And Paul is saying, because you've been grafted in, because there's some work that needs to happen with this grafting. It's not just poof, bam, done. You are required to do some changing, because that Granny Smith branch, it's comfortable in the Granny Smith tree. It's not necessarily comfortable in the Fiji tree. So that Granny Smith branch needs to also do the work to get into the roots, be connected to the roots of the tree. And so we have our part in being grafted in. And our part is to be a living and holy sacrifice. To not copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but to let God transform the grafting process, transform us into a new person by changing the way we think. We have choices. You know the verse that says, you know, I put before you today life or death, choose life. The examples that God gave me today was, we can choose to stay in the gunk or the mire, or we can choose to be transformed by the renewing of our mind into what God called us to be, which is the children of the Most High King. We can choose to be the yuck and the gunk, or we can choose to be princes and princesses. And that's up to us. We have that gift available to us through the blood of Jesus. We have that gift available to us, but we have to make the choice to do it. The other one is a little bit cliche. It's a caterpillar. If a caterpillar stays in his comfy caterpillar self and never goes into the hard process of being in a cocoon, because that's not an easy process for the caterpillar, let me tell you what. It would end up dying in this state because it needs to transform. It would slowly die in its flesh. Instead of getting into the cocoon, doing the hard work that needs to be done to transform into this beautiful creature that can fly and be this majestic thing that it was always created to be. And we have those choices. We can choose to conform to this world, or we can choose to transform into the things that God is calling us to. And how do we do that? By the renewing of our mind. Well, how do we do that? There's ways of getting there, but I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. I want to turn to Romans 8, 5 and 6. This is Paul talking about this, okay? This is a little bit earlier in the chapter, but when we're conforming to the world, we're choosing to live in our sinful nature, right? Romans 8, 5 says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things pleasing or that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to a life of peace. So when you're allowing your sinful nature to control you, you're choosing to live in the muck and the gunk. But when you let the Holy Spirit take control and transform you, you get to go and be a butterfly. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? And in Hebrews 12, 1, it says, therefore, again, that would require some going back, but I didn't do that because that's not what this sermon's about. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. So we need to strip off the sin. You know, there's some sins that are harder for certain people than others. It's like with temptation. Temptation is not temptation unless you're tempted. When I worked at the women's prison, I love people, but I worked kind of in a space where I didn't really get to talk to anybody much. And so I got a big old bowl of chocolate candies on my desk, and I'd have people come and visit me all the time, and they're like, I'm so glad you have this. I just need a little pick-me-up. And they're like, how are you not eating this all day? Well, it's easy. I don't like chocolate. It's really simple. It's not a temptation for me because I don't like it, so therefore I'm not tempted to snack on it all day. Now, however, you put some like Cheez-Its out there, and that might be a little harder, okay? So temptation isn't temptation unless you're tempted. I did this really fun. It was actually Mom that did it first, but we did a temptation lesson with the kids in kids' church. And what we do is we put on a movie and we call it movie day. And we'd say, you know, there's just one rule for this movie time. One rule. You can't have any popcorn. No popcorn. And then the teacher would go and like to the other room. And then someone else, and when I was young, and this was me, would come out and I'd sit right in the middle of them and I'd just be eating popcorn. Oh, this is good popcorn. Do you smell that popcorn? It's so good. Do you want some popcorn? Do you want some popcorn? And it was about temptation. And the kids that got the popcorn, that was their snack. But the kids that didn't got the good stuff that we had in the other room. Because temptation is stealing an opportunity away from you somewhere down the line. It's an opportunity cost. So with sin, it's all tied into temptation because different people are tempted to do other different things. Like for me, murder's not really a temptation. Some days. I'm just kidding. But, you know, that's not really a hard one for me. You know, one that could be is gossip. Some people think of them as different levels, but God sees sin as sin. And when someone comes to you and says, "Do you know what Sister Susie said?" I have to shut it down and say, "No, I don't, but I'll be praying for her. Thanks for talking." And I walk away because it's not my business. And so, but there's a different kind of sins. There's adultery. There's lust. Just lust. Not even the act of doing anything, but the lust. We have to strip these things away from us. We have to strip away lying. I don't care what it is. Don't do it. Don't lie. Just don't. And gluttony, laziness, gossip, all of these things. So we need to strip them away. Which again, really easy to say. Yeah, just don't do it. Just don't lie anymore. Then you get pulled. Woo, 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 woo. Officer, do you know how fast you were going? No, officer. You knew how fast you were going. Don't lie. You got to strip it away from you. But how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you strip away the sin? It's really easy. Hebrews 12:2 talks about it. It says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Nowhere else they need to be. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And if we are running after Jesus with everything that we have, the rest of this yuck, the rest of this gunk goes away. You guys, spoiler alert, I've not always been a perfect person. I'm not right now, but I've not always been. And when there was a time where I was not walking with God as close as I should. I was raised in church. I call myself a prenatal Christian because I was raised in it. And my parents did an amazing job rooting me in the Word. But I went through a time where I moved away and I didn't really get back into church. And, you know, things started slipping and I wasn't getting into my Word. Guys, you got to get into your Word every day. You have to. It's life. But I wasn't doing the things. And I was married to a sailor. Sometimes he talks like it. So I started to a little bit too, and my mouth was not always kind. And every once in a while, I'll still slip up, you guys. I'm not going to lie. Every once in a blue moon, something comes out, but I catch myself and I repent. But do you know, the more that I got into this, the easier it was to watch my mouth. The more that I put worship on and surrounded myself with people who are doing the things that God is calling them to do, the less my flesh took over and did the things that it wanted to do. I needed to switch my focus from what was around me and get my focus back on God, on Jesus. So again, Hebrews 12:2 says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion. Yeah, he is, who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. I have a little video I'm going to show you guys real quick. Maybe.
Now I know what God was talking about in Psalm 23, because this is us. Like, it makes so much sense. Look, he is made to have a shepherd and a leader. Like, I cannot go anywhere without him following. Look at this. Finna go this way. But look, he just will follow you. And I'm telling you, this is how we are spiritually. We be dumb. We be stupid. But hey, at least God thinks we're cute. You know what I'm saying? He gives us grace. And whenever you mess up, God just wants to hug you and love you for his creation. So same way when we see this baby sheep get stuck or something, we can't help but in our hearts help it. That's the same way Jesus loves you. God bless you.
So he mentioned Psalms 23. I love that. I love that video because it so shows how we should be. Oh, you're going this way, Jesus? I'm coming. Oh, over here. All right, I'm with you. Oh, what are you doing now? Holy Spirit, lead me. I'm coming. Oh, you want me to go over here? I'm on my way. That's how we should be living our lives. We should not be living our lives with, God, this is what I want to do. You'll meet me there, right? No, we should be following, chasing after him. Psalms 23, which is the verse he said, mentioned, says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Do you know that that little lamb probably wants for nothing? Because the shepherd is going to take care of it. How could he not? He's so cute. Little shepherd, little lambie. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Do you know, for me, one of the hardest things to do is rest. I struggle with it. I am a go, go, go person. I really am. I am a go, go, go until I collapse on the couch at the end of the night. I used to think I was lazy because my house is a mess sometimes. Most of the time. But in reality, I'm just constantly getting things done that I'm exhausted by the end of the day. When God gave the Israelites the command, not the suggestion, but the command to take a day of rest, they had just come from being enslaved. And so when they were not used to resting, but God said, no, this is your gift to you, to rest. You need to take this. And they're like, they didn't know what to do with themselves. And he had to keep reminding them, hey, guys, this is a command. You need to rest. It says here that he will lead you he will make you lie down in green pastures. That sounds very restful. If you're following him and you are chasing after him and going wherever it is that he wants you to go, there's going to be times where he leads you to rest. Chasing after God does not mean that you are constantly doing things, because he wants your best interest at heart. That's what he has at heart, your best interest. And he commands you to rest. So when you're chasing him, he will make you lie down in green pastures. He will lead me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Ooh, that right there. He restores my soul. If your soul is at unrest, if your soul feels a little tore up, if you've been through some things that still hurt, we've got a soul restorer available to us. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we're chasing after God, we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord. Because, you know, the Lord, Godhead, three in one, Holy Spirit lives in us. And if he's living in us, we're dwelling in him. That's how that works. But if we're trying to run as fast as we can, we're our own way. When God's trying to get us to go this way, it's a little hard to be dwelling. That's like hooking up an ox. One face in one direction, the other face in the other direction. It's not going to work very well. You got to be pulling the same direction. And you know, if I'm going to be pulling the same direction, I don't want it to be my direction. I want it to be his, because he can see way further ahead than I can. He can see the pitfalls. He can see the traps. He can see where I'm going. He knows what's best for me. He wants what's best for me. He wants every good thing for me. But if I'm trying to do my own thing, and I'm not following his lead, and I'm not saying, anywhere you go, I'm coming. I'll be right there. Oh, you're going over here. I'm coming. Then I'm not dwelling in him, and I'm trying to pull that cart another direction where it should not be going. In John, they talk a little bit more about sheep, and so I wanted to read it. John 10, 3 and 4. And it says, the gatekeeper opens up the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice. This is Jesus talking. These are red letters, okay? The sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. And they follow him because they know his voice. Do you know the voice of your Father? If you don't, maybe you should stop and listen to him for a little bit. Do you know that people that expect to hear God's voice will hear it more times than anybody not expecting to? People who don't expect to hear his voice oftentimes think, well, that was just coincidence. And they don't see God's hand in situations. But when we expect to hear God's voice and to see him move in our lives, it'll change your whole perspective. It will totally change your perspective. John 10:11, so a little bit further down, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. That right there says it all. He's the good shepherd. He's what we should be chasing after. And if we don't know what that looks like, get into your word and read the Gospels. They'll tell you what he's like. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. What did that say again? Oh, that's right. We're to be a living and holy sacrifice. If we're chasing after him, he laid everything down to the point where he was sweating blood and said, Father, if this could be at all in your will, take this cup from me. But he did it anyway. He sacrificed himself. He went through that time, that torture, but even more painful than that torture, he went through that time of separation with his Father. And he did that for us. I think that I can let go of some offenses. Because if I'm chasing after him, it's not me here. It's him in me. And if it's him in me, I know I can do it because he's already done it. He had people spitting in his face. He had people calling him all kinds of names. And he just, if that's what you say. And if he can do it, I can do it because he lives in me. He lives in me. And because he lives in me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if I was 4 years old, I'd say all by myself. My very first memory verse, but I was stubborn. And I could do it on my own. So what does this look like, though? What does this look like? What does chasing him look like? When you don't know what to do. So you can say, yeah, chase Jesus. But how? How do you chase Jesus? Well, there's lots of ways, but the first one is you praise him. You start your day praising him. You don't put your feet on the floor without thanking him for waking up. You put him at the center of everything. You put on your praise, you put on your worship, you put on your altering, your atmosphere altering music. But more than that, you praise him with your words. You praise him with your words. You pray to him. You commune with him. You talk with him. And then you get quiet and you let him talk back. Oftentimes, when we're in our prayer closet, we're, okay, Lord, yep, thank you, check. My Aunt Susie needs some help. Check. Check, check, check. Oh, let me pray in the spirit some. Check. Okay, thanks. That was nice. And you don't give him any time to talk back to you. But if you get quiet and you say, Lord, I'm here and I'm listening. Anything you have for me, he'll talk to you. He will talk to you. He will tell you. And it might not be George today. It's often a still small voice. But he's faithful to do it. Because it says in the word, if you seek me, you will find me. And the word is not a liar. So if it says that if you seek me, you will find me, then you can go to the bank on the fact that you can find him if you seek him. So prayer is a great way. Thanksgiving, I always start out my prayers with thanksgiving. Before I bring my needs, I bring my thanks. Because he's the reason I have anything at all. And so I might have some needs, but before I bring them, I bring thanks. And oftentimes, when I'm bringing him my needs, if I know what the Bible says, and it's lining up with what the word says, and there's a promise in here about it, instead of asking him for it, I'm thanking him for it in advance. Lord, I may not feel super great today. My stomach might be upset. I might have a little bit of a fever. But I thank you that you are my source, and you are my source of healing. And because you died on the cross, and you have shed your blood, I'm healed. I thank you for that healing. I'm not asking him to heal me. He already said he would. I'm thanking him for it. I'm claiming it. I'm standing on that promise. Because if he said it, he's going to do it. And if we can get to the point where we have the faith to say, you know, my bank account may not look like this, but God told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. And then just start talking like you're going. Or doing, or whatever it is that he's called you to do. Because if he told you he'll do it, he's not a liar. He'll do it. And he said that we can heal the sick. And he said that by his stripes we are healed. That's me. I'm a we. I'll do it. That's me. So if I'm not feeling well, I'm going to stand on his word. And it might look a little like this. Lord, for your healing. But I'm going to keep standing on it until it happens. Because he said it, so he's good to fulfill it. I can count on him. He's not a flaky God. He's not someone that says yes one day and turns around and says, just kidding, the next. He is a faithful God. Here's the other way. We go to him first. We go to him first. We don't decide that we're going to do something and try to figure it out on our own. We go to him first and we say, Lord, you've put this on my heart. Or there's this situation. Or, you know, my kid is not doing the things that I think that they should be doing. What do I do? How do I do this, God? Help me. Show me what you have for me, because I know that you have the answers, because you have all the answers. Go to him first. Don't try to do it in your own way. Because his way is better. His way is higher. Amen? Whew, so good. It's so good. It's so good. I love this verse. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Quit your stinking thinking. If God said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. So instead of thinking about all of this stuff going on, start knowing, not it might happen, if he wills it. If he said it in here, he wills it. You don't have to question it. He wills it. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for us? What is that? What? How do we know what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is for us? It's in the Word. You know, before the Israelites crossed the Jordan, in Deuteronomy 28, 2 through 6, he said this: "You will experience all the blessings if you obey the Lord your God. And if you're chasing the Lord your God and you're following him like that sheep, you're going to be obeying him. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do will be blessed." God's will for us is to be blessed. So when we are not conforming to this world, but rather transforming, becoming that butterfly, not staying in caterpillar mode, but becoming it, the butterfly, by the renewing of our mind, we're going to prove his good and acceptable and perfect will. And his good and perfect and acceptable will is for us to be blessed, because how can we not be blessed when we're in his presence? How can we not? Oftentimes, when we're not being blessed, it's because we are outside of his will. Because his will is for us to be blessed. And when we are chasing after him with every single thing that we have, we're going to be blessed. Because even if we don't have anything in the bank account, but we're chasing God, he's going to cover every single one of our needs. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about what tomorrow holds, because we know the person that has ordered our steps. And if we can trust that the Creator who placed the stars in the sky, who made woman from man, who put the oceans in their place, can handle little old me, no problem's too big for him. And when we get our heads around that and we start chasing him, because I know that you've got this, God. I don't know how this is going to work out in the natural, but I know that you've got this, and I'm going to follow whatever you say. Even if it might be uncomfortable for me, I'm going to be blessed. Because the Creator of the heavens, the universe, the entire world, the oceans, the stars, everything, told me that he wants blessings for me. And that if I obey his words, I will be blessed. He will bless me. He will bless my towns and my fields. They'll be blessed. My kids are going to be blessed because I obey him. My fruit baskets and breadboards are going to be blessed. Not so good on the keto diet, but you know, I'll take it. I'll take that blessing. Amen. Wherever you go and whatever you do will be blessed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Become your prince or princess self. Because we are children of the Most High God. And because we are children of the Most High God, we have the ability to be transformed into something better than we ever could be on our own. Amen? Did you guys get anything? Okay. It's a little early, but we're going to close with some prayer. Father God, we worship you and we honor you and we thank you that you are a good shepherd, that you want the best for us, that we can come to you with our needs and our desires and our wants, and you already know what they are. We thank you, Lord, that your way is the best way. that we can show up to your presence with our arms outstretched to you, and you'll reach out and you'll pick us up from where we're at. Because you're a good father, you're a good shepherd, and you love us and you want the best for us. You've laid out this plan and your word for us, Lord. And when we follow your word and we line up with that, Lord, we know we will be blessed. We thank you for it, Father. Lord, we worship you and we honor you. And we thank you for everything that you've done for us. And it's so much. And we thank you that you care about each hair on our heads, Lord. Thank you for who you are. In your holy and wonderful and magnificent name. Amen. 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 If you're watching online or in this room and you don't know this Jesus that we're talking about, he died for you too. And he's available. You know, we have been given the gift of salvation. We have been grafted in, but we have to accept that gift. And so if you don't know Jesus and you don't know this love and this peace and this blessing that we're talking about tonight, ask him into your heart. Say, Father God, I know that I don't hit the mark. I know that I'm a sinner, but I thank you that because your son died on the cross and he is Lord, I am redeemed. And he's faithful. He's so faithful to come. And if you let him and you renew your mind by getting into this and getting to know the voice of your Father, he'll transform you. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen.